Alrighty, Exodus chapter 13 and verse number 21, 22. Is everybody there? Say amen. Let's stand together one time real quick before we go, because I want to preach real fast. And you don't have to stand, but if it'll help you get stretched out a little bit before we start preaching, why, that's the main thing. And in reverence to the Word of God, chapter 13 of the book of Exodus, verse number 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Lord, help us to preach today with the power of Almighty God upon us. And Lord, in such a way that lost people could know clearly how to be saved, and the saved folks, Lord, could get good help from heaven this morning as they go on this journey of life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may sit down, turn and tell somebody, I love you anyway. Tell them you love them. Amen. I told my mom and dad this morning, I love you. And we need to tell people we love them. Now, we're preaching through the life of Moses. I want to preach today on a subject entitled, The Pitcher in the Pillar. The Pitcher in the Pillar. The Pitcher in the Pillar. Get that in your head. The Pitcher inside the Pillar. And I got a picture up here of the pillar. This is a picture of the tabernacle. And you see that deal right here. Right here is the pillar. This is just an artist's conception. Now, this is the tabernacle, and Israel is encamped in there and journeyed. But we're not there yet. God hadn't even told Moses how to build the tabernacle at this point in life. But there's something happened. God sent a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and he gave it to the children of Israel after this, and it stayed with them. He says, stay with them. So it's just I put this up there so you can get an idea of what it was about. But it actually, at this time in the passage of Scripture, it's not on the tabernacle and in the tabernacle, but it will be. Let's remember on the life of Moses. Moses has been called by Almighty God. He knew his calling in life, but he tried to fulfill the calling of God in the flesh. He went out in the wilderness for 40 years. At the end of 40 years, God appeared to him a burning bush. And God called him to be the human instrument in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt as slaves is a picture of God delivering those that are lost out of the bondage and the slavery of sin. This is a picture of what happens to you and I. And so we see that God the Father heard the groanings of those people, and he said, I've heard their afflictions. So God the Father gets involved in their salvation. And then the Lamb of God, the Lamb is offered, and the blood is shed as a picture of Jesus Christ and his part in man's salvation. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And so you see God the Father and God the Son involved in the salvation of these people. But when they come down, now watch this. The Lamb's blood has been shed, the blood put on the door, and Moses gave instructions for everybody, all the Israelites, together, or the old timers used to say, as a rendezvous spot, a place to meet. It would be like saying that this whole congregation, we're going to go to Springfield together one night, but we're going to rendezvous right here, and we're all going to go together. It is like sometimes when people decide, well, we're going to go hunting out in the mountains, and they come from their various homes and they meet together. Moses called the people together there at Ramses, by the way, which is a picture of Pharaoh, and then he took them and moved them to Succoth, which the word means pilgrim, and it's a picture of being moved out from underneath the bondage and dominion and power of Satan because of the blood of the Lamb, and moving on their pilgrim journey through life. When you got saved, you became a pilgrim and a stranger to this world, and you are journeying through this land. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so it's a picture of the children of Israel moving out. Now this pillar was a visible sign of the presence of Almighty God over the nation and the people of Israel. The pillar during the daytime was a cloud, but at night it was a pillar of fire. And the pillar of cloud and fire are a picture, and here it is, when I say the picture in the pillar, it is a picture of the work and the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in the life of the believer. So when you study that pillar, you will learn all the doctrines of the New Testament being shown and revealed in the workings of this cloud. So it's incumbent upon you and I, so this is not just an evangelistic message, this is a pastoral teaching message to help you. Oh, I want to encourage you today. I mean, I got glory happy studying this message this week. I mean, I got happy. I preached it to most people I can find, but most of them wouldn't stand long enough for me to get it preached. And so I'm going to preach it this morning. I want to give you several things when we get out of here. Number one, if you want to write these down. Number one, the cloud was not given unto Israel until the blood had been applied to their life. Now I want you to listen to me today. The Holy Ghost of God is not given to lost people. You do not receive the Holy Spirit until you've been redeemed by the blood. When God put this pillar over them, it was after they had killed the lamb, took the blood, put it on the household, and then they gathered and the Holy Ghost of God came upon them. You do not get the Holy Spirit until you're saved. When you by faith appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ as the innocent sacrifice and substitute for your sin, then the Holy Ghost moves into action. And this is what He does. Number one, He will regenerate you or perform what is called in the Bible the new birth. He creates a new creature in Jesus Christ within your body. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He literally makes you alive spiritually to God. It is called the new birth. And Jesus said, you must be born again. And that new birth comes by the power of the Holy Ghost when you, by faith, and just what He's been telling you, not when you got baptized, not when you quit smoking, not when you quit drinking, not when you quit whoring around. The Bible teaches you got saved whenever you placed your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Ghost moves. And so He bursts you and makes a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. You are, the book of Peter tells you that you've become partakers of the divine nature. You've been born again of the Spirit of God. But that does not happen until the blood of the Lamb has been applied by faith to your life and faith in believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the way, this pattern is consistent in the New Testament in the fact that Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost moves. What's this? The Holy Spirit of God moves in direct connection to the blood of the Lamb of God. Don't ever forget that. The Holy Ghost moves in power and in ministry in your life in direct connection to the application of the blood of the Lamb of God, and the Holy Ghost honors the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and nothing else. That's when He'll move in your life. And so I'm just saying this. Then not only does the Holy Ghost regenerate us, make us a child of God, but the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Now let's get something straight. In the Bible, there's water baptism and there's spiritual baptism. Somebody says, Reggie, does a man have to be baptized to be saved? Yes. Spiritual baptism, not water baptism. And in fact about it is, you don't even have any say to it. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of God baptizes you into the body of Christ and you become a member of the church and He does it without you even asking about it. Yeah. Amen. And then the next thing the Holy Ghost does is He dwells within you. The Bible said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to give you some wonderful, wonderful, glorious news today. That if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you and abides with you. And if you've placed your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the glory cloud, the Holy Ghost of God has come upon you, not only come upon you, but lives within you, and He is working in your life. You ought to reach out by faith right now in this congregation, right now in this message. You ought to reach out by faith and believe that Word of God, that the Holy Ghost of God, God Himself in the Spirit, lives within you. You say, I don't feel like it. He knows that. You know that. That will change where He's living. Amen. Now you listen to me. We have something the religions of the world don't have a clue about, and that is God Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not saved. Amen. But I tell you, God Almighty in heaven will move in power upon that person that places his faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God moves in, amen. Let me tell you, that's why when you get saved and you do wrong, the Holy Ghost will convict you. And you get saved and do wrong, the Holy Ghost will quench inside you. You said, man, I should have spoke to that guy about his soul, and you don't do it. The Holy Ghost of God will grieve within you. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can resist the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you, one of the glorious things in the world is to walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this all was done, again, on the grounds and the basis of Jesus Christ shed blood, not on the basis of any moral activity they had done. Please get a hold of this. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And so that's the main thing you ought to get a hold of. It's a sweet thing to me to go back in the Old Testament and see God working exactly like He works in the New Testament. I feel sorry for these people who don't believe in the Old Testament. You can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. You can't do it. Number two, the cloud was wholly and absolutely a gracious gift of God to those people. Did you know they never even asked God for it? God gave it to them. Did you know when you got saved, all you wanted was your sins forgiven? All you wanted was not to go to hell and place your faith in Jesus Christ. But God gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit without you even asking. And it's the same way in the New Testament, John 14:16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Capital C, Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad that I have a Comforter living within me. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. It's just like my salvation. It's a free gift. Now, this is what I want to get across. Doctrinally speaking, I would say most everybody in this church understands what I'm saying. But I want to ask you this. Have you personally, and do you personally on a day-by-day basis, apply and appropriate the fact that the Holy Ghost of God is a gift that's been given to you, and you can walk with Him and live with Him and talk with Him, and He can comfort you and guide you and strengthen you in life? Have you ever thought what a blessed gift it is that God gave you His Holy Spirit? The sad truth about it is, if we're not careful, day by day we're grieving the Holy Ghost of God with our pride and arrogancy and fleshliness and our worldly lusts and so forth. And the Holy Ghost has been so grieved and been so shoved aside in our life that pretty soon we even wonder if we have the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm telling you, listen, it was a gracious gift. It was a provision of God, and God has given you that provision. Now, young people, listen to me carefully. The most precious thing you have this morning in your Christian experience is the Holy Ghost of God living within you, abiding within you, and that's a gift from Almighty God. Take advantage of it. Don't shove it over there in the shelf somewhere. Put it in the closet. Every morning of your life, wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you and talk with you, and let's have a wonderful day today. Amen. Amen. Walking in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Oh, what a blessing. Number three, the cloud was given to them to guide them. To guide them. Oh, the Bible says that God told Moses, He said, when that cloud stops, you stop. When that cloud moves, you move. Now, next week, we're going to preach about this little fact right here. Because for you to understand the ways of God, how many's figured out you, it's kind of hard sometimes to understand what God's doing. You know, this is one of the greatest things. I'll give you just a little bit of it. But boy, you know what, old Moses, I guarantee he had his head, and Pharaoh did too by his reaction, that we're going to cut right up on the north end of the Red Sea and cut right up toward Canaan land. And the Holy Ghost of God said, no, you're not. We're going down on the east side of the Red Sea. East side of the Red Sea, that means we're going to get trapped down there. It's not even toward Canaan land. God, where are you leading us to? And can I tell you, the Holy Ghost of God will guide you in ways that you do not understand. You say, man, I don't know what's going on, Lord. Why are things happening like they happen? God, what's going on? But I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing you'll ever do is get right in touch with that glory cloud of God. Let Him get laid you. Let Him guide you through life. I'm telling you, that Bible said, oh, Fanny Crosby wrote this song, all the way, my Savior led me. Well, I'm glad to tell you today that God has been leading me for 30-some years right now. And I'm having more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Amen. I'll tell you something. Sometimes it's been through muck and mire. Sometimes it's been through rose bushes. The other day I was trying to pull a clamp off of a steel post. And I'm reaching down that bottom one. And I've been wading through the... How many's ever tried to reach in a multi-floor rose bush and get clips off of a steel post? Oh, it's a chore. I grabbed out my fence pliers. I was down like this. And I pulled back with all my might and it slipped. Fell right back into a big old rose bush and stickers sticking everywhere in my body. I laid there and about started laughing. I said, if this wasn't so funny, I'd almost cuss. It hurt so bad. So sometimes when you want to cuss, the best thing to do is laugh. How stupid you've been. Amen. And you know what? You know, sometimes I got to thinking about it. Sometimes the bad things that happens to you in life are going to turn out to be the best things you ever got a hold of. It's the thing that's going to open up the whole world. It's going to open up things to you for God. It's going to make you see things in the Bible you never seen in your life. I'm going to tell you something. It's good for me that I've been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. And I want to tell you this morning, the Holy Ghost of God wants to guide you. Hey, He wants to guide you about who you're going to marry. Yeah. The flesh will try to guide you, but you better let the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God wants you to guide you about where you're working at. He wants to guide you about the life that you live. He wants to guide you about where to park your car. Amen. He wants to guide you about what the clothes you're going to wear. He wants to guide you about how to raise your children. He wants to guide you about how you handle your money. Amen. Oh, listen, the joy of the Lord to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, letting Him lead you, letting Him guide you. Do you know something? I've said this 3 or 4 times to people who have talked to me about serious matters recently, and this is what I tell them. You listen to me good? I'll tell you right now, if I know that I'm in the will of God and I'm not off here in sour land, I'm not over here in rebellion and something bad happens in my life, I'm going to tell you something. I can take it with peace and joy and gladness in me and I can endure it. But if I've been in sin and it happens, I wonder if what's going on. I'm confused about whether it's the chastening of God or whether I'm in the will of God, because God will lead you in places you don't want to go sometimes. So you better know you're in the will of God so that when you get in that place, you can say, listen, at least I know. I was in the will of God about this matter. So if it's tough, you need to know that He's guiding you. The Bible tells us that if many of us are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit. God will lead you, friend. Follow Him. Follow Him. Boy, I'm so glad. I'm so glad for that glory cloud of God. It's a wonderful thing to have God the Holy Ghost going before us, going with us, leading us all the way. That old song we sung this morning, I got so tickled. God started walking up here singing the piano, started playing, He Leadeth Me. I said, good land, I believe the Holy Ghost is in charge of this service. Amen. And God, the Holy Ghost wants to lead you. I want to ask you a question today. Are you letting the Holy Spirit of God lead your life? Are you letting Him lead you? You know, we ought to let Him lead just down to the very words we're saying. Lord, lead me in what to say here. Lord, lead me in the look upon my face. Lord, boy, I tell you what, mom and daddies, I'd get on my face before God. And I'd say, oh, God, we don't know how to lead these kids. But, oh, God, would you lead us in how to lead these kids? Can I tell you something? I don't know nothing about pastoring. And probably never will. But I know somebody who does. And He's led us, amen? And He's leading us. And I get so happy about being led by the Holy Spirit. It just makes my innards tickle. Like, you, what was that Mountain Dew? They said it'll tickle your innards. Well, I tell you what, the Holy Spirit of God has just tickled your innards, amen. You know what? You'll just be glad. You're just happy to be walking with the Lord. I know sometimes it's through scenes of deepest gloom. Sometimes when Eden's bowers bloom. But it doesn't make any difference as long as I know that He's a leading me. The shepherd is leading us. And by the way, it's on a narrow way. Let the peace of God. You see, Reggie, how do we know? How are we led by the Spirit? Let me tell you what I told a man the other day. He said, Reggie, you don't know what to do. I said, let me give you a verse. Let the peace of God rule in your heart to the which you're called. Be you thankful. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you have peace about what you're getting ready to do? I don't know, Reggie. I said, you better figure that one out, because that's the way God will lead you. Let me tell you something. If you don't have peace about something, don't do it. I'm going to tell you kids something. You're having your wedding. You're standing back there in your wedding dress. And I don't care if the preacher
and all the brides, grooms, and maids are standing up here, and you're standing by your daddy, and you know in your heart you shouldn't marry that person, you better grab hold of your daddy and say, Daddy, I can't do this. I ain't supposed to do this. I'll help you. I'll walk down from the pulpit, walk back there and visit with you. We'll come up here and say, somebody's trying to be led of the Lord. You say, well, that would embarrass somebody awful bad. Kind of embarrassing going before the judge, too. You better be sure what you're being led by the Holy Ghost of God to do. Amen? You better be being led. You say, man, I don't know whether I ought to take that job or not. You say, no, I don't want to be mean to you this morning. But I'll tell you what, I'm so used to people not liking preaching it, it almost don't even faze me no more. I want somebody to say this. I say, if I said you, well, listen, I'm applying for a job. Folks, I appreciate the salary you're giving me, but oh, it just ain't enough and so forth. So I'm applying for a job up here at Springfield. And Brother Blair, one thing they're going to need, they're going to need me to work on Sunday night. So you folks need to understand I won't be here on Thursday night. How many thinks I'd be led of the Lord? Can I tell you something? Anything that leads you to put God second, third, or fourth in your life is not being led by the Holy Ghost of God. You just will mark it down in your day book, and you can justify that, rationalize that any way you want to, friend. But I'm telling you something. God will never lead you contrary to the Word of Almighty God. I'm telling you, He won't do it. He won't do it. He won't do it. What a comfort it is to be led by His Word. Listen, number four, the Bible is given them for light. God gave it to them for light. Now, boy, I'll tell you what, out there in that old dark night, they had a cloud on them, and it turned into a pillar of fire at night. And God wants to give you light. It's the same way the Bible said in the night, and by night in the pillar of fire, He gave them light. It's the same way in the New Testament. Did you know God gives you in light? God is light, and Him dwells no darkness. The Holy Ghost of God will give you light to walk by. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 2 said He's given us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. You know what that means? God's going to show you what to do and what not to do. He's going to give you the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might and knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord. And this spirit of God will lead you in what you should do, but it'll give you light to know what's going on. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Did you hear that? In Genesis, it was darkness across the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. The Bible said the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God says, I want to give you light. Let me tell you why this country has been a light to the nations of this world, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ has shined in the face of our founding fathers. And God gave this, but let me tell you something. It takes light to have a right judicial system. It takes light to have a right police force. It takes light to have a right educational force. It has light to make decisions. You know what's wrong in Washington, D.C.? Darkness. Absolute darkness. When the Bible said, watch this, they grope about as a blind man. You look at Washington right now, they're groping like blind men. They don't know what to do, and the world knows they don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. You're a father, you need light. You need to know where you're at. You don't need to be wandering around in darkness. You need to have light so you can see exactly where you put your foot at. Don't be stepping out of darkness. You say, Reggie, what about? I'm going to tell you, say, man, I don't know how to raise these kids. I don't know what to do. Get the Holy Ghost of God at work in your life through the Word of God, and God will give you light exactly what to do. Won't be no question about it. I'm saying this with the Holy Spirit. I'm not walking in darkness. I'm telling you right now. You say, Reggie, I am not walking in darkness. I'm walking in the light, amen. I'm walking in the light. I'm telling you, the Bible said if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. God does not want you just bouncing around, wondering about this. I'm telling you something right now. Did I do something wrong? Now, I hit a button, didn't I, Joel? I got wound up preaching. I don't know how. Did it hit that X? That booger come in and just really... Oh, thank you. Boy, I tell you what I think. Never had that happen before. What was his name anyway that went walking across there? Was he walking in darkness, Brother Dave? What I'm saying to you is this. Folks, listen. I'm not in darkness about how to be saved. And I do not want anybody who attends this church wondering, how do you get saved? I'm not in darkness about what is sin. I'm not going up here to say, well, I don't know what... Listen, this old book will tell you exactly what sin is. I'm not in darkness about what's right. I'm not in darkness about what's wrong. I want light on things. I don't want to be looking through the fog and trying to figure out, you know, well, I wonder whether that's right or wrong or not. Let me tell you where you get messed up. It's when you just get about twilight. You got just enough light and just enough darkness messing with your mind. You don't know where you're at and what's going on. You get in the light, it will not be hard to figure out what kind of clothes to wear. You get in the light, it will not be hard to figure out what you ought to watch, what you ought not watch. And when you're walking in light, that stuff gets real clear. It's not a big debate. These churches that are having these national conferences and wondering whether they ought to ordain a pervert to preach and pastor a church, I'll tell you what, they're such in darkness, it's unbelievable that they'd even consider such a thing. But it's because they're walking in darkness, amen. I'm not in darkness about lies. I'm going to tell you right now, a lie is a lie and the truth is the truth. Did you know what the Bible said? That when He has come, the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost ain't sitting around this lying business and this deceitfulness and all this garbage. Well, number five, the cloud was given to guard him. I like this. He was given to guard him. You're going to find out when God brought this cloud in on top of him, right there there was. Nations down underneath it. God says, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to guard you, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to lead you, all these things. And you know what the Bible said? If you'll know, read your Bible, old Pharaoh, he had second thoughts about letting them go. And here's what, there's two things that did it. Number one was his heart was hard, and the other thing was he thought they were going where he could trap them. He thought Moses does not know where he's taking these people. And he ran down there to get them. Now, here comes the Egyptian army, and I'll get into this next week somewhat, but here's the facts. Moses, by the Holy Ghost, led the children of Israel down the east side of the Dead Sea, and he came to a place, and you'll read the names of it, a mountain went just up like this, and a mountain went up like this, and there was only one way out, and that was the way they came in. And the Dead Sea was here. Pharaoh literally said when he heard where they were at, they're trapped, basically, is what his whole deal was. And he brought the army down there to get them. And you know the story, the children of Israel turned around and saw the Egyptian army coming. And then they just about went berserk. You know what the God, the Holy Ghost did? Now you listen to me this morning. Because some of you's had this happen to you and you didn't even know it. This pillar moved from the front of them and moved around, went behind them, and stood between the Egyptians and the Israelite people all night long. Now you watch this. This is amazing. It said that the Israelis, it was light to them, but to the Egyptians it was darkness. And let me tell you about the Holy Spirit of God. I believe this with every fiber in my soul. I've experienced it. The Holy Spirit will guard you. He'll guard you against false doctrine. He'll guard you against doing something stupid. I said a while ago to you about the Holy Spirit guiding you in marriage. Guide you in so many things. I'll tell you what, you parents ought to pray the Holy Ghost of God. Your boy gets to looking at the wrong girl. Your girl gets to looking at the wrong boy. You ought to pray the Holy Ghost of God and move in between them. And make your child see the light and make them see darkness. God guards you. I believe the Holy Ghost of God has stood between me and death numerous times in my life. I'm telling you, listen, the sweetest thing you'll ever know in your life is the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them to fear Him. I'm thankful for the Bible said that He stood between death and it stood between destruction and Satan. Satan, the devils, and no, you get a hold of this Bible truth. Satan, devils, people, no one can touch you without God's permission if you're a child of God. Now that's a fact. I'll give you a Bible example of that. The book of Job, Satan wanted at Job and he could not touch Job until God gave him the permission. And let me give you a comforting thought today that if God ever gives Satan or anybody permission to touch you, God will work that for His glory and the ultimate good. There are things I do not understand, but I have to know that my God and the Holy Spirit of God, for the child of God now, is being protected and He's guarding us and He's guiding us through our life. I thought about this, that during the day that cloud was covering them from the heat of the desert. At night the desert gets cold and it was a fire. And fire also protected them from the dangers of animals or other people and gave them the light that they needed. And can I tell you something? God's going to give you everything through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're going to need all the days of your life. The next thing is that God spoke to them through the cloud. You find that in Psalms 99:7. It said, He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. Exodus 33 tells us that. Numbers chapter 12 teaches us that. And here's what happened. God would speak to the nation of Israel out of that cloud. He said, Reggie, what's that mean? This Bible that you hold in your hands this morning, this is why there's such an attack on the Bible, because Satan does not want God to be able to speak to you. And if he can take the Bible out of your hands, he'll keep God from speaking to you. Now, you listen to me this morning. There's an old song that says, what more can he say to you than he has said? Okay? God spoke to Moses face to face, the Bible said. Three times in the New Testament, the Bible said, the Spirit said unto Peter, the Spirit said unto Philip, the Spirit said unto the elders. All right? Now, you listen to me. I'm going to give you what I believe the Bible teaches. Primarily, God will always speak to you through the Bible. And if you're not going to read your Bible, then I don't think you should expect God to speak to you much. Secondarily, God will always speak in confirmation of the Bible. The Spirit of God will always speak to you in agreement with Scripture, not contrary to the Scripture. God will never violate His own Word, God the Holy Ghost. Primarily, most of your life, you are going to be spoken to by the Spirit of God as the Word of God is read, preached, taught, and meditated upon. Once in a while, in your life, the Spirit of God may whisper to you and speak to you in a still, small voice. But remember, it will always be to confirm and to support and to verify what God has already said. Watch this. Holy men of God spake, when it's talking about how the Scripture was written, you don't have to ask a theologian or a Bible college how the Bible is written. The Bible tells you that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, my words are spirit. And the Holy Ghost of God, for you and for me, is going to speak to you through this book. Once in a while, I believe that still small voice is going to prompt you, is going to speak to you, going to lead you, wanting to guide you. But it will be in confirmation of the Holy Spirit of God. Do not put any stock in what somebody tells you God told them, if it's in disagreement with the Word of God, or it's what I call extra-biblical revelations. There are none. Those are false prophets and false spirits, and you're going to have to be aware of it. God said, I'm going to say a thing to you. I'm going to say it out of that cloud. And you read through the experiences of him with Moses, and that cloud was how he spoke. God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you through this book. All right. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Holy Ghost of God authored this book, and he will speak to you through it. Number 7, this cloud, as I said a while ago, was darkness to the Egyptians, but it was light to the Israelites. Watch this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man, that's the lost, unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for he cannot receive them. Lost people do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They do not comprehend them. John 14:17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You need to get a hold of this. A problem that I have, Sister Pearl, I think lost people ought to know better. I think unsaved people ought to know about something. The leaders ought to say, but you know what? When somebody's walking in darkness and they're not saved, they do not comprehend nor cannot receive spiritual things. And you and I sitting here thinking, what in the world is wrong with these people? I can tell you what's wrong with them. Don't have the Holy Spirit of God. Don't have the Holy Spirit of God. That's why they need to be saved. As I said a while ago, I am not living in darkness. Most people in America wonder why somebody gets shot, why somebody gets killed. Can I tell you why? Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. Sin came and the curse came and it's been passed on to every man. And we're living in a depraved, fallen, sin-cursed world. That's why people die. That's why people get cancer. That's why people have all kinds of problems and sicknesses and sorrows and sin and pain is because of sin. And if you don't understand that, you just leave yourself up to confusion. You wonder, what in the world's going on? This world's so crazy, I can't stand it anymore. I'll give you something. All right, husbands, let's just try us out. Your wife's going off the deep end. She's getting meaner than the devil. She won't cook for you no more. She won't wash the clothes. She won't clean the house. You try to kiss her and she throws a frying pan at you. Anybody ever met a woman like that? Don't shake your heads, men. Don't do that. Now, here's the question. I know it's a wild scenario. I know it never happens. How does the husband be led of the Spirit in reacting to that? What does a man who is led by the Spirit, who's living in the glory cut, how's God going to lead him? Now let's just have a little Sunday school class here this morning. You see, I can preach around circles on this all day long and you'll sit there and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But until it has to apply to a real situation in your life, ain't going to help you much. I frequently get calls from people that aren't even close to this church, don't even live in this state. Is this Pastor Kelly? Yeah. Well, you don't know me, but I'm from over here in Kentucky, and a guy gave me a CD of yours, and I just felt the Lord wanted me to call it. My wife left me, and she took the kids, my wife, I come home the other night, and there's another man in the house. And I thought she loved the Lord. Now, what are you going to tell that man to do? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give me a lawyer is what I'll do. On the way to the lawyer, put a bullet in that guy's head. If you're walking in the Spirit, what are you going to do? The first thing the guy needs to do is get thoroughly right with God himself. He needs to take his focus off his wife. He said, "Dear God in heaven, I want you to help me get right with you first, thoroughly. And then, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit so I can react to this in a way that I'll be godly." And then you ought to go out in the woods and cry out to God Almighty. And then you ought to love her as Christ loved the church. I want to ask you a question. Let's just get down to brass tacks here. Let's just get right down to brass tacks. If a saved person runs to a lawyer, files for divorce, are they being led by the Holy Spirit of God? Has God got anything to say out of the cloud about that? Yes, He does. You see, folks, the truth about our church life is most of the time we're skimming across the surface. We won't ever take the truths that we're really getting a hold of and drill them down where it's back at the house. What do you do with a rebellious child? What do you do with a church member who's gone off the deep end? By the way, I'm going to say something. Many of you know they've got a family that's going through a real tough time in this church. Don't believe. I want you to quit talking about it among yourselves. Number one, shut your mouth. I'm the pastor. shut your mouth. You pray for them. You don't talk about them. Amen. Number two, quit trying to figure it all out. Number three, do not believe some of the stuff that's going around that I have said or not said. Most of it that has come back to me already is lies. Okay? I'm doing all I know to do. I'm not a good pastor, but I'm doing all I know to do to help the situation, but it's a very difficult situation. But if I'm led of the Spirit, do I tell someone, go file for a divorce? Watch this. If I'm led of the Spirit and somebody is beating on their wife, do I tell the wife to go back to her husband? Go back and get yourself beat up again. Do you understand this morning what it means, how important it is that we be led of the Spirit? Because Satan wants us to jump out and be presumptuous and think and take worldly ideas and worldly thoughts and start applying them to the situation, the next thing. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Every decision you're making about you and your marriage, you and your work, you and your children, everything, you better understand, you better be led by and under the light of the Holy Spirit about it, or it is going to get you into big, long-term trouble. And a lot of times, problems that will not be fixed this side of eternity. Okay? This world is blind as a bat. They're dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to spiritual truth. A few weeks ago, I was preaching behind this pulpit. We had a visitor here at this church, and I'm not trying to be mean. I don't think any of you'll know who it is. They do not, you know, they don't even live around here, but they were just here. And I was preaching. This is honest truth. And while I was preaching, the Holy Ghost of God said to me, "You're wasting your time with that man. It's gone." I was preaching, and I literally could see the what I call the dumbness and the ignorance to spiritual things. There was absolutely no reception to any the Word of God whatsoever. It was just like hitting a glass wall and bouncing off, glass wall bouncing off, glass wall bouncing off. And I thought about this situation, and I told some folks this week, the worst thing that can ever happen to you or your family is that you get to where you have no spiritual comprehension. You have no spiritual reception to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you all something this morning. I'm love you, but I'm as serious as death. You need to guard in your home and your family what I call a generational curse that comes because a parent turned the Holy Spirit off and said basically, "I don't give a rip anymore what's right or what the Bible says. I'm going to do what I want to do and how I want to do it. And I'm going to be like I want to be." And let me tell you what I see happens every single time. It instantly, it's like a bank shot with a basketball. It banks off right into the children. And that next generation has what I call a dull perception. They walk into church and, you know, they're kind of popping their bubble gum and they're looking around, you know, and church is just kind of about a social event for them. And, you know, yeah, they know Jesus died on the cross. And, you know, if somebody does something, they'll pop up their head once in a while and take a little interest. And then the next generation they just absolutely have no comprehension of spirit. They cannot receive and comprehend spiritual truth. This is the most dangerous thing I know of. This is why you need to be praying with your children. This is why you need to really have spiritual discussions with your children. This is why you need to have your family in a Bible preaching church that is preaching the Word of God with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you need to absorb all you can spiritually, because what's going to happen, that same bank shot, if you're being filled with the Spirit and you're absorbing spiritual truth and you're discussing this with your children and you're applying it to your lives, it's going to bank off, as it were, it's going to bounce off into your children's lives, and they will hopefully even have more spiritual perception. But the second that you turn off the Holy Ghost of God and resist the Spirit of God, you will see a deadening start come, that by the third generation, they literally, Billy Sunday could be preaching and they'll just sit there and go.
I want to encourage the church today to do something. Pray with your kids. I would encourage you, you say, I don't even know what you're preaching about this morning. If you don't remember anything you preached about, pray with your children and pray that the Holy Spirit of God would open the eyes of their understanding to spiritual truth. Number 8, the cloud filled the tabernacle and rested upon it. And I just want to be very quick about this one. God says in the New Testament, be filled with the Spirit of God. Boy, you need to pray, God, fill me with your Spirit. Can I just say something to you? The saddest thing happened in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in America, and even yet today, many people believe that being filled with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. That's not true. That's a lie. It's not biblical. And I ain't got time to go into all of it, but I tell you what, if you want to visit with me about it, you call me up, I'll sit down, I'll show you from the Word of God why that's true. And so here's what's happened. A lot of people think if they're getting filled with Spirit means they got up in front of some service and got slain in the Spirit and all this kind of stuff happened and all that kind of stuff happened. And they're kind of like, you know, that's just not me. I know there's some place. But let me tell you something. Being filled with the Spirit, folks, is an act of God within your heart that does things like what Donnie taught this morning that'll make you meek. Amen. That'll make you yield your rights whenever you could have had your way. It'll make you be kind and love your wife. It'll make you be submissive to your husband. It'll make you a Spirit-filled child is obedient to his mom and dad. And I tell you, I'm about sick to death of this whole TV craziness that's going on in America about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you what, I mean, I've seen so much of it. Women walking around speaking in tongues, slit up their dress, see the crease in their breast, cocking around, acting like they're spilt with the Holy Ghost. They're no more. I mean, tell you folks, that's as false as it can possibly be. And I'm just encouraging today. Let's get back to the Bible about what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, a Spirit-filled person will be working during the day and the Holy Ghost of God will prompt them to pray for somebody. And I tell you what, they'll pray for them. A Spirit-filled person, the Holy Ghost of God prompts them to give a tract to somebody and talk to them about their soul. They'll give them a tract. A Spirit-filled person is constantly sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to obey and do what God and being led of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. That's what being filled with the Spirit is. It is simply, and when you see something in the Bible, it's doing what the Bible says to do. It is not complicated business. And I want to encourage you today. I beg you in Jesus' name. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I need to be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. I tell you, Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give the Spirit to them that ask? And he's not talking about the indwelling, the regeneration work. He's talking about the power to do what God has said to do. God wants to pour his Spirit into you. God wants to give you what you need to live out the Christian life. It was said in Bible class this morning, we cannot do these things in the power of the flesh. We must do them in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. So I encourage you in that. I want to tell you the last thing, the thing that made me jump this week, and I'm going to jump in my truck and go home and eat dinner. And I know y'all wished I would. This, I tell you, I'm honest with you, Kenny. This helped me. I hope it helps you like it has helped me. I studied this week, and I got down here at this part, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. Did God ever take the cloud away? And if he did, when did he? And do you know what the Bible teaches you? That God, from the time they got saved, redeemed by the blood, he sent the Holy Ghost to them. And he never took it away from them till they got into Canaan land. And do you know what the Bible says about the believer? Jesus said, he shall abide with you forever. In other words, what God is telling you, I'm going to accompany you with my Holy Spirit all the way through this race. Now, that's wonderful. That's great. I'm like, amen, hallelujah. God's never going to leave me nor forsake me. He has sealed me unto the day of redemption. Holy Ghost, sealed by the Spirit of the day of redemption. All those doctrinal truths. Wonderful. Great. Bless God Almighty. And then all of a sudden, I thought of something. I thought, wait a minute. Them sorry low-down Israelite people got out of Egypt, they said. Would to God we had died in Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt.
Where'd you get this manna from? We're sick eating that quail. Who told Moses he's the only one God spoke to? From the time they left, crossed the Red Sea, even before they crossed the Red Sea, there's a griping, groaning, murmuring, calling God a liar, everything else in the world. They didn't believe God about nothing the whole trip. How many of you are like Israelites? Ain't got no water. We ain't got this. We ain't got that. Where's God at? Wish I was eating onions. Back in Egypt. Murmuring, complaining, griping, groaning, fighting, rebellion, not believing. Is that not the truth? Go up there, come back. Oh, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of them guys. And then the Holy Ghost whispered to me, Reggie, I never did take the pillar from them. I got some good news to you this morning. You listen to me. This blessed my heart because I'll tell you, you're listening to a preacher who has done it all. I've murmured. I've complained. I've doubted God. I've had this unbelief. I've rebelled. I've done that which I thought I would never do. I want to tell you something. He's never left me. And I think that's what made me happy. I tell you, the night I got saved, Brother Randy, January 24th, 1982, the glory cloud came and God indwelt with His Holy Spirit. And He's never left me. And He never will leave me. And that's why, folks, when you get in the book of Nehemiah, you know where you find out really that He never left him? It's clear up in the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. It said, it recorded all their sins and iniquities and their unbelief and all this junk. And it said, but God is merciful, gracious, kind, and loving. And He never took the cloud away from them. I'm paraphrasing it. That's basically what He said. And old Nehemiah was telling those folks, he said, God never did leave us, folk, even though He chastened us. He whooped us. But He never left us. You know what I thought about this church? God's never left us. You know what I want to challenge you to do this morning? I think you got to pray, oh God. Get your wife and say, dear Lord, we just want the Holy Spirit to know He's welcome to run our marriage. Get your kids together and say, oh Lord, we want the glory cloud leading and guiding and protecting and giving light to our family. I want the glory cloud right on this church. Amen. I think where you work, I think your business, I think what you'll do is, oh, say, dear God in heaven, may the glory cloud of God reside upon this work that I do. Every job I'm working on, every place I'm at, may the glory cloud of God be there. We ought to want that in our lives. I preached till I think the Holy Spirit left about 3 minutes ago. Let's go home. Amen. Let's go home. It was given without merit. It guided their journey. Let's stand together. It guarded them all their life. It lighted their way. It led their way. And it lasts how long? Forever. Amen. Did anybody beside me sin this week? I'll be in the booth over here. You come by. After I get done talking to God, okay? And that's going to be a few hours. So we'll see you tonight. Lord bless you. Hug somebody. Shake their hand. Tell them you love them. Hey, thank God He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He's going to take you through to the other side. Amen. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you tonight. Amen and amen. See you.